Good evening. Leading us tonight in praise and worship has been our pastor, Sam Trujillo. He's our worship pastor. You've heard pray tonight our pastor to senior adults and administration, and also our discipleship pastor. It's a delight to be able to spend a few minutes with you as we recall the birth of our Savior. In the first chapter of the Gospel of John, of the Gospel of Matthew, we get the perspective of the birth of Christ somewhat from Joseph's perspective. Now, Joseph is a character that, apart from this chapter of the Bible, we really wouldn't know at all. Tradition says that Joseph died prior to the ministry of Jesus. So apart from the harried story about the census being taken and Joseph having to go to Bethlehem and the details about his being informed of the birth of Christ and the origin of Christ, we don't know much about him. What we do know is there was a census being taken. This is a Roman census. And the entire empire was required to go to their birth home or the home of their genealogy and to be accounted for. So in this case, Joseph had to leave Nazareth and go to where? Bethlehem. Now, apparently, Joseph was not an administrative kind of guy. Joseph was not maybe a great planner, because we don't read any details about Joseph getting on Priceline or hotels.com and making a reservation. In fact, he didn't do that. And the reason he didn't do that is, well, there was no internet, nor were there hotels. There were inns. And not many of those. Most frequently, what they were people's homes. And they would recede in their home and allow the front area of the home to be rented and in which people could stay. It was interesting, in the first century, especially in and around Bethlehem, being such an agricultural, farming, ranching kind of place, many of these homes were in caves. And whereas you might think that for safety purposes, the family would be back in the back of the cave, in reality, that which was of greatest value was put in the back of the cave, and it wasn't the people. It was the animals. Now, the text doesn't tell us where Jesus was born. That is, where this manger was located. But I can't imagine it would have been choice number one. But it was a choice. And it was a choice, no doubt, that Joseph had to make. And I can't imagine, none of us can imagine, what he must have felt, how he felt the pressure to provide for and allow for the birth of this Jesus, whose name was given to him by an angel. But I want us to think about Christmas for just a minute and the story of it from Joseph's standpoint. And I want you to put yourself in Joseph's shoes. Now, I'm reading from the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and this won't take but a minute, but I'd like for you to stand as I read it. Would you please? And I begin in verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now Matthew, parenthetically, says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. And here is what the prophet said. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. May God bless our reading of his word. You may be seated. It occurs to me as we read this story that we don't really know when all this took place. It obviously took place before the birth of Christ. It seems to have taken place before the journey to Bethlehem, because now Joseph has decided to take Mary, that is to fulfill the betrothal and complete the contract of marriage with her. And it's not until we get to Luke's gospel that we get the view from Bethlehem. But there is in this story that we read something insightful. It's insightful for Joseph, and I think it was vitally important that Joseph get this information, because it is going, and it has, and it will unsettle his world. His world is going to be thrown into an upheaval. Whatever kind of manager he was, it was put aside for the stewardship of God. And what God says to Joseph through this angel, he says to us. May I be more personal than that? He says it to you. As Matthew tells the story, he begins with a full chapter of genealogy, which makes little sense to 21st century Americans, but it made a world of sense to first century Jews. This was their identity. And what is revealed by Matthew reporting this genealogy is something that Joseph is going to have to learn, and in fact is told in this dream. And that is this: God is working in your life. Joseph, you need to know God is working in your life, and he has been since far before you came to be. God has been working in your life. Here's the genealogy going all the way back to Abraham. If we read Luke's genealogy, we get an account of that genealogy going all the way back to Adam. Some of you here need to hear this. God is at work in your life. From your point of view, from your perspective, it may not seem it, it may not feel it, it may not look it, but there is another perspective, and it is a divine perspective. God sees what God is doing with, in, and through your life. And in this message that the angel gives to Joseph, it is made clear. Joseph, you had plans for your life, but I have plans for your life. And it comes down to Joseph to make a decision. What is he going to do with his plans, and what is he going to do with God's plans? And we read the story. He chooses God's plans. It's always best. It is always best to choose God's plans for our own lives. So don't forget that this Christmas, that the message of Christmas, while it is about the birth of Jesus Christ, that was a birth for a reason. It was not just an incident or an event. It was a birth for a reason. Jesus came to this earth for a reason. It's caught up in his name, Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins, which brings me to the second discovery that Joseph was able to make during this dream, and that is this. God is providing a Savior for you, Joseph. He shall save his people. And Joseph, being in Bethlehem, was living out the fact that he knew he was of the people of God. These were Jews. These were his people. So if this Savior is being provided, it's being provided as much for him as it is for anyone else. We read in the story that Joseph is a just and righteous man. But that doesn't mean for a moment that Joseph is sinless or that Joseph is perfect. He's not. Joseph was as much in need of a Savior as anyone who had ever been born. Sometimes, the best news we hear is the most unsettling news we've ever heard. I'm pregnant. I have a new job. I've even heard people say, in their golden years, as they put it, I'm terminal, and I couldn't be happier. You see, we can't gain that perspective through our own eyes. In order to have that perspective, we need the eyes of God, what God is seeing, what God is doing. The message of Christmas is, at least from Matthew's account, a discovery for Joseph. But as we read it, there are discoveries for us. God is at work in our lives. And we, every one of us, needs a Savior. God bless.